Good evening again to all of you, and welcome to our seminar. My name is Ben, and if you are wondering who I am, I'm just one of the persons who are helping here at these seminars. The snacks and the food in the front, I enjoy cooking, that's one of my hobbies, so most of the time, that's what we provide for you. I want to mention also that Steve is not available today because he is sick. He called me today at 4 p.m., and mentioned I won't be able to make it. I'm feeling very nauseated and I'm feeling with fever. So we hope that he doesn't have any flu or any serious contagious maladies or diseases that can affect him for so long. So, but how are you doing? How are you feeling today? Very good. Amen. Since he is sick and nobody was planning to prepare for that, I will be helping you with the presentation tonight. And if you get really, really bored, Sharon offered to do entertainment for us. Right, Sharon? She will be singing or some kind of like magic trick or something here, so you don't get bored. So the topic for tonight is a very well-known subject. It's the thousand-year period that is mentioned in the book of Revelation. What is the other word for that period? Anyone remember? Millennium. And where we get that word from? Latin, very good. And what is the meaning of that word? 1,000 years. It's a period of 1,000 years, right? In another languages, millennium it make more sense. In English, it's just a little different. Okay, so our study tonight is based basically in Revelation 20, verse 1 through 5. And if you are kind enough, we will do the reading here at the screen. This is a New King James version. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold of the dragon and the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan. So kind of like identifies who is describing, right? And bowed him for 1,000 years, and he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set up a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and the Word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection, Revelation 20, 1 through 5. Now, in the last section that you are getting there, what you can get from that portion of the scripture there? What are the rest of the dead? Who are these?
The rest of the dead?
Yes. What in your opinion are the rest of the dead? Yes, in the back. Neil. Very good. So I just want to ask you, if you are familiar with this concept of the two resurrections, because people think it's only one resurrection for everybody. But the scripture here is presenting something a little different. It's kind of like some people will be resurrected when Jesus Christ is coming the second time. And then after the 1,000-year period, another group of people is being resurrected again, right? And this is what the Bible is kind of like presenting here. So this is one of the things that I want to present to you. And remember, this information, I know you have studied the Bible. I know you have some knowledge in prophecy. And maybe some of the things that I'm presenting to you are different from what you know. But please feel free to disagree and take notes. And we can talk about more in detail about these things. Now, again, the millennium is a 1,000-year period. And it's kind of like a sandwich you see there. Begins with the first resurrection. Then you have the chunk of time right there, the 1,000 years, and ends when the second resurrection, right? And it seems like it's a purpose and explanation for all of these things. This is found in John 5:28, right? Do no marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are dead in the grave will hear his voice and come forth. And this is Jesus explaining about the resurrection, right? Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who had done evil to the resurrection of what? of condemnation. So it's kind of like some people will get a good reward and other people will get punishment. And these two concepts are very present in all the scripture. You will find that God is rewarding the people that is righteous, but it's also punishing the people that is wicked. Some people don't like these concepts, right? Because they feel like God is too angry. How is it possible that a loving God will punish some people? And this is not something that we created. This is something that the Bible presents, and that's had to do with justice, right? Justice to the good people and punishment for the ones who are doing evil things. So it's five events that happen at the beginning of the millennium, right? What is the first event? The second coming of Christ, and we will go through some Bible tests to prove these statements that I'm making here. The second is the resurrection of the righteous. Then is the translation of the righteous living. Then the wicked living are slain. And finally, number five, Satan is bound. And let's start with the second coming of Christ. And let's read what the Bible says here in John 14:1. This is one of the most beautiful promises that Jesus made to the disciples. You probably, everybody knows this text right here. Like, let not your heart be what? Be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in whom? In me. Jesus is speaking of himself, right? In my Father's house are many what? Mansions, and if I were to know so, I will have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. So this is the promise right there. And I will come again, and I receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So that's basically the promise of the second coming. Now, jumping a little bit here in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, this is what the Bible is presenting here in Revelation 19. Now, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judged and made his war. And this is a very interesting description of Jesus Christ, right? Because we are always thinking about Jesus as the Lamb, as a person of peace. And now here, Revelation is describing him as a making war. But you have to continue reading, and you will discover making war against whom. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself, and he was clothed with a robe deep in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, follow him on white horses. Now, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he shall strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. This is a quote right there directly to the book of Isaiah. Now, keep in mind that when you are reading Revelation, it's a very symbolic and detailed description of the things that they are happening. And this is the way that the prophet is presenting Jesus Christ. But don't be confused. This is not the Jesus Christ that was here in the first place. This is the Jesus Christ divine, the very powerful God that will come to restore and put things on the right place. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God. And he has on his robe and in his tie a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So it's a clear description right there of God, right? And Jesus being God himself also too. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 is mentioned the following. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel. And before I jump ahead of myself, had anyone here listened to a trumpet in a enclosed environment? How is the sound of the trumpet? Very loud, very annoying, right? I had the opportunity to be in a restaurant, and it was my birthday, and they called the mariachi band. And the guy just came there, and they started blowing the trumpet in my ear, like almost leaving me deaf. Very loud voice. This is kind of like the description that the Bible is presenting here. This is not something that will happen in secret. This is something that obviously everybody will notice, because the amount of sound and the description that the Bible is using here. And let me mention the following elements. The resurrection of the righteous. In the same book, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, this is what Paul is describing and how he's describing the second coming, right? And when the trumpet of God and the dead in Christ will rise first. And Revelation 26, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. So why the person who had part in the first resurrection is blessed or happy? Think about it.
These are the ones that kept
Well, if you have two resurrections, right, and we'll get more into detail in a few minutes, the first one are the ones who get in the prize, the reward. What kind of reward get the second resurrection? Right, that's the one for punishment. And you will wonder about that, right? Take notes there, and we will continue studying about that. So the translation of the of righteous living. And some of you are familiar with the concept of the secret rapture, right? The secret rapture, are you familiar with that theology? In the secret rapture concept, they will explain to you that the faithful people will be translated into heaven previous to the tribulation period, right? And this period is a 7-year period that everybody that is saved will be in heaven, protected from all the things that are happening here on earth. Now, let's do some reading about what the Bible is presenting about this subject. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 also. Then we who are alive, you know, Paul expecting to be alive at the time, and remain shall be caught up where? Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the earth. Now, the description here that we will get caught up, the word that is used for getting caught up is the word rapture. It's the same word, right? Somebody is grabbing you by force and is taking you to heaven. And why is that doing that? Well, it's because God somehow is protecting his people, right? And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Now, you understand that this is a reference to the second coming of Jesus Christ. The fourth element in the millennium, before the millennium, is the wicked living are slain. And how do you know that? Well, let's go do some reading here in Revelation 6:15. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and say to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits in the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to what? To stand. So this group of people is kind of like presenting fear to what event? To the wrath of the Lamb, right, to the second coming. They are afraid of that because they never expected to happen. This is 2 Thessalonians 1:7. And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you notice, the language is quite clear, right? This is an act of vengeance. This is an act of punishment. This shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, whom the Lord will consume with the bread of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. So Thessalonians here is saying that somehow a group of people will be destroyed in the second coming, right? And you can infer from the context of the text that he's presenting here that the ones who are destroyed is the ones who are not expecting what? The second coming, right? The ones who are not expecting that Jesus is coming back again. Events of a Christ coming. And let me do like a little list here, and then we will go through the Bible text, and you can do the more in-depth study. Believers are resurrected. Believers receive immortality. Wicked living are consumed. And we will read that before in 2 Thessalonians, you remember. And wicked dead remain in their graves. Believers ascend to heaven with Christ, and you will ask a few questions. What are the questions? What happened after Christ comes? What happened with the planet? What happened when the people that is not taken to heaven? What is the condition of the earth? What happens to Satan? Right? Is Satan destroyed? When does God make the new earth? Is anyone alive in earth during the 1,000 years? So let's do some reading here in Revelation and go back to the same chapter. This is Revelation 20, right? Then I saw an angel coming from where? Down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, right? And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Now, the bottomless pit comes from a Greek word that is abusos, and it's translated for us as bottomless pit, but a better translation from this word is without form and void. Where did you find this phrase in the Bible? Does anyone remember? Right there in Genesis. right? Genesis 1, before creation happened. The planet is how? In disarray, the planet is kind of like in chaos, the whole nature is disorganized, is without form and without void. So when the scripture is telling you that Satan is bound in a place without form and void, it's a reference to a planet that is no longer in order, right? It could be our planet Earth. And what are these chains that bind Satan? You know, because the Bible is saying that the dragon was chained here into this pit. And let's go do some reading here in 2 Peter 2:4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but he cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Now, if you are paying attention, this chains of darkness, this is like a more like a literary structure that the writer is using to explain something. It doesn't mean that you find chains of darkness, right? It's not like you are going to Home Depot, and I need 20 yards of that kind of chains, the ones that is in darkness. They will say, you are nuts. You don't know what you're talking about, right? And so you know that this is a symbol. So when Satan is bound to the planet, the reason for that, it had to do because there's no one else here to bother, right? Let's go do some reading here. Is anyone alive on earth during the millennium? What is the answer to that? This prophecy is very interesting. It's found in the book of Jeremiah, and you can read it in more detail at home. But the only way that you can place this prophecy in the scripture is in a time like this, kind of like when everything is destroyed. But pay attention to what the Bible is saying here. I beheld the earth, and indeed it was without form and void, and the heavens, they had no light. And beheld the mountains, and indeed they trembled, and all the hills moved back and forth. And beheld, and indeed there was no man, and then all the birds of the heavens had fled. I beheld, and indeed the fruitful land was a wilderness, kind of like a desert. And all his cities were broken down, and the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord, by his fierce anger. For thus saith the Lord, the whole land shall be desolated, yet I will not make a full end. So this is a very interesting prophecy. When is that happening? When is the whole planet finally being destroyed? The only event that you find in the scripture that kind of like fit into the details that we are talking here is exactly the second coming. The second coming will create such events in nature and in society that everything pretty much will be collapsed. Go ahead, Sharon.
Okay, so the earth is destroyed. We're not going to be here. What
are we going to do? Oh, that's a very important question, and we are going to answer in the next slides over here. Thank you for asking that. But let me continue reading here in Jeremiah. This is the same prophet speaking about the similar situation here at the end. And in that day, the slain of the Lord shall be from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. And so it's kind of like walking in the streets or walking outside and seeing bodies of people. This is something that is very descriptive and is very kind of like scary. They shall be not be lamented or gathered or buried. They shall become refuse on the ground. And what is that? Why nobody is burying these dead people? Because there's no one here, right? So they lay ground outside, and you know, there's nobody taking care of the dead people. It's a very sad situation. Now, temptations work only in living people, correct? Can the devil tempt the dead? Can Satan do temptation in dead people? No, you need to be alive to be tempted, right? That's a precondition to be. So if everybody is dead, what would Satan can do to tempt these people? It's no work for him, right? So he's kind of like stuck in this planet with a bunch of dead corpses and nothing else to do, because everybody else pretty much has been already translated to heaven. So here is the question for Sharon, right? What will the righteous do during the 1,000 years? So it's like you go in heaven and you will be jumping from cloud to cloud, playing harps. And, you know, like, some people had this idea about heaven, right? Quite boring. It's very interesting what the Bible said about heaven. This is Revelation 26. Blessed and holy is he who was part in the first resurrection. Again, speaking of the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. Now, Notice that the Bible is introducing a concept here that can be new for some of you. What is the concept? Second death. How many times a person can die?
One death.
Very good.
You,
but you are correct. Everybody dies only once.
But you can die twice.
Well, that's true. Technically, if you get resurrected and the doctor brings you back to life, and eventually we will die. But all of you and I, we know that one day eventually what will happen to us? We'll die. It is something that is that's nature, natural process, right? But that's the death that the Bible is describing here. This is a different kind of death. And Jesus and many scriptures warn us about these things, right? And it's speaking about the people that is right now when Jesus cries for 1,000 years. They say, but they shall be what? Priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Right? And I saw thrones, so it's more than one. And they sat on them. Who sat on the thrones? The context of the previous reading is the people that is with Jesus 1,000 years, right? The saints. Very good. On them, and judgment was committed to them. And this is Revelation 20:12. And the books were opened. And you remember the scripture mentioned these books often, right? In Daniel and Revelation, the records. This is 1 Corinthians 6:2, and probably you have read this text before. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Had you read this text before? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? So that is right there made sense in the context of the what? Or the 1,000-year period, right? Because that's what the saints will be doing, judging people. Therefore, judge nothing before the time. Right? It's a caution for us that we are ready to jump and judge other people's behavior. You know, be careful. Don't do that. Until the Lord comes, who he will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness. So we don't really know the heart, right? And reveal the counsel of the hearts, then each one's praise will come from God. So the Bible is explaining to us that during this period, the saints and the people that is in Christ, they will be doing a work of judging people. Judging the ones who are not there, right? Now, but let me ask you this. If you and I make it to heaven, you know, we'll get some surprises, right? What is the first surprise that you will get when you get it to heaven? Yeah, you are there, right? Oh, great, I make it. Good to see you, right? What is the other surprise that you will get? Other people that you respected and leaders and people that you appreciated, maybe it's not there. And then you wonder why they are not here. They were such a great people. They were great, you know, honest, and you know, a lot of things we don't know because we don't have the ability to read minds. God does, right? And he will bring the right people to the right place. And so the Bible is interesting when it's presenting to us the different details. So the righteous in heaven, the wicked remain dead, right? Because they were destroyed at the second coming. Satan and his angels are here tied up on a planet without anyone to tend. And the earth remains desolated, all like in this organization, right? Void. So what events happen after the millennium? And the scripture presents this in Revelation 20. The wicked dead are resurrected. And you wonder, why are they resurrected again? But let me do the reading here. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. Again, son of the dead lived before the 1,000 years, which are the righteous people that they were brought to back to life, but the ones who are bad, you know, evildoers, they are not resurrected at the time. They are resurrected after the 1,000 years are finished. And the number of these people, according to Revelation 28, is the sand of the sea. So it's a huge amount of people. Right? Think about, yes, Sharon. Oh, that's a good question. We'll wait until heaven to ask Jesus Christ. Right, but when the Bible is describing judgment, remember, it's more than condemning people. Because remember, God explained in Scripture, and as a Christian, as a believer, you should know that we don't have any pleasure in seeing people suffering, right? When somebody died because of bad behavior or an accident, I don't know about you, but it may feel sad. This person is making the wrong choices and the end result is dying. So we shouldn't have happiness when somebody's suffering or dying. And God had the same heart for people. It's not like he's sending people to destruction for without a reason. The reason for the judging is more for us, for our benefit. Because remember, we are intelligent beings. And we are always questioning things. And we had curiosity. And you will wonder why this person is not here. Is God unfair? And so God had to present without doubt, without lack of, you know, without enough evidence to everybody to see why he is a righteous judge. And that's part of the judgment. Now, Revelation 27 say the following. Go ahead, my friend.
What is the reward of the saints?
Oh, the reward of the saints is explained in the scripture as the eternal life. But it's also more than eternal life. Remember, eternal life only makes sense when you are living in the presence of God, right? So this presence of God brings you eternal life. And other rewards come with that. The Bible describes happiness. It's no more sorrow. It's no more pain. It's no more suffering. You find that in Revelation 21. But before getting into that, let me do some reading here, okay? And we'll go to that question in a minute. Now, when the 1,000 years had expired, Satan will be released from his prison. Meaning, what is the prison? No one is there, right? And we'll go out and deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. But let me ask you this thing. All these people that is resurrected after the 1,000 years, and Satan come back to the end and start telling them lies, why they will listen to him? You know, very good. Some of us, we are very slow learners. And some people don't change. They don't want to change. So no matter what the evidence is telling them, they will continue behaving in the way that they always do. So, because I always think about this, but how is that the enemy will go and deceive them again? Well, they obey him before they die, right? So again, in this situation, they're ready to listen to whatever he's saying. Revelation 21:2, this is John describing the holy city of God. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride and adorned for her husband. And I hear a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, God himself will be with them, and they will be their God. And they went up on their... Now it's describing about the people that is bad in Revelation 20 again. Revelation 29 describing the ones that are being deceived by Satan, right? They went up on the bread of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. Right. Continues reading. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Now, when the Bible is saying that fire came down from God, what it comes to your mind? It's a destruction, but it's a destruction in what way? People, a lot of Christians believe this way. How do you call a place where people is thrown and it's a lot of fire on it? Right? So that description is kind of like feeding to hell, right? It's a destruction of sin, but not only from sinners, but also from the creator of sin himself, which is Satan. Right, and this is what Revelation is saying here. Now, pay attention because the book of Revelation have like a very interesting structure. You are reading chapter 20, and you will think that all the details in the chapter 20 are presenting like in time order. And it's not like that. In Revelation 20:11, it starts explaining to you why these people was thrown into the lake of fire, right? Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face of the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and gray, standing before God, and the books were open. Are you guys familiarized with the concept of judgment? Remember we said yesterday? How you hear that idea that eventually one day we will stand in front of God? So how that made you feel? Let's be honest, standing in front of God. How that made you feel? It's just scary, right? It's intimidating. Because what excuse we can give to God for our sins? Very good. When you have the best lawyer on the planet, who is offering his blood to protect you and protect me and offering his righteousness, and he's saying, I forgive him and he is my son. Don't look at him, look at what I did at the cross. Then you have an excuse now. Very good. That protection of Christ will cover us, and then the judgment doesn't scare you that much. But when you are alone in front of the judge and you don't have any excuses and you don't have any lawyers, then the consequences are next, right? Think about that for a moment. But more than that, let's continue reading here Revelation 20:12. And another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. This is a very interesting book, and it's mentioned in Revelation. The Book of Life, the Book of Life is, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in their books. And so the dead people who didn't make it through heaven, they have a record why they didn't make it through heaven. And the Book of Revelation mentioned this Book of Life. He said that we should keep our names where? In this Book of Life. It's very important for us to be in this book, because that's kind of like our access to heaven, salvation. The second death, this is the concept that was presented here in Revelation 20. The first death is the death that we all died, you know, as a natural result of being in a sinful world. The second death is the eternal death, that's the result of the personal rebellion against God. The lake of fire that we mentioned before, that's kind of like the second death. Now, do I have any pleasure in all the wicked shall die? This is Ezekiel 18:23. Says the Lord God. And look at the answer. And know that he should turn not from his ways and live. That's God asking. For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live. You know, when I encountered this test the first time in my life, and I imagine God pleading with me to abandon my wicked ways and give him a chance in my life, that was something very powerful in my experience. You know, think about it. God is pleading with you every day and asking you to do the right things. And it's your choice to do his will or do your own will, right? And so it's a beautiful test that presents a loving God that is compassionate. He's not interested in destroying anyone. God is trying to save everybody. Sadly, not everybody is interested in the salvation, right? Some people will say, you know what, God, I don't care. Just want to live my life right now the way I want to live it now. Now, Revelation 21 is closing with one of the most beautiful promises in the Bible. Now, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This is the promise of what will happen after the whole planet is restored, right? For the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and also there was no more what? No more sea. I guess no more fishing in the sea at that place, right? Questions we're asking to God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall not be more dead, no more crying, no more sorrow. Now, let me ask you this. How do you imagine a place where there's no more pain? Can you conceive that in your mind, thinking about a place where people is not suffering? You know, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but you were probably wondering, well, how's that Ben have this beautiful and exotic accent? You know, like, let me tell you, you know, that's what you get when you are not born in the U.S., right? When you are a foreigner. And the place where I came from is South America. I used to tell people, I'm from Colombia. And they talk, Colombia right there. No, not that Colombia. Another Colombia down the south. And I had to tell you that I live in a country where violence was very common and very prevalent. Every day you were confronted with violence and the difficult choices. And I noticed, I'm sorry, but I will say, I hope that doesn't sound offensive to any of you, but I visited poor places here in the U.S. And when you compare how the poor live in the U.S. and how the poor live in other countries, it's no comparison. I know they're having a difficult time right now here, you know, because this is a very challenging country if you don't have resources. But it's no comparison to what other people live in third world countries, right? Countries that really, really struggle just to make end living, food, and other resources. So sorrow and pain are very common for a lot of people today. Maybe you don't get confronted with sorrow and pain right now because you are blessed and God is protecting you. You have a nice family. But a lot of people is going through sorrow and pain, right? From sickness, from disease, from certain things that we cannot change, right? That they are out of our control. And this is what the Bible is promising to us, right? There shall be no more pain, for the former things had what? You don't think it's an amazing promise right there? Let me ask you, I don't know about you, but I had the sincere desire to be there. You know, more than the prize, it's just to be able to see God and to talk to Jesus and to have peace. Have you ever considered what is to talk to God face to face? You know, we pray and we ask God to answer our prayers, but you will now have this journey in your heart, like finally getting a direct and a straight answer from God, why certain things happen. You know, I had to deal with a lot of funerals. Last weekend, I was visiting a couple in North Carolina. They asked me to go there and help them with a small ceremony for their new daughter, baby. And I was there praying for their daughter, you know, asking for a special blessing for the family. And talking to the family, I remember that almost 5 years ago, I was in the same city with the same couple bearing the newborn baby. We had to put it into one of the cemeteries in the city, and it was a very painful and sad moment for this couple. And it gave me a lot of joy now to know that God, you know, had given them a blessing. They have a new daughter, and their son is doing really well, and that they are doing well. And so we all go through these moments, right? Moments when you feel like really, really sad, and moments when you feel like really, really happy. How do you think about the people that you know in your life and in your family that maybe won't be there? How that made you feel? It gives you sadness, right? Because you want everybody, your whole family to be there with you, right? That will make more sense to enjoy heaven. But the interesting thing that I learned more and more is that God is such a respectful and loving Father that every one of us had the choice to say yes or to say no. This is not for me. I'm busy right now. I'm working. I don't care right now. This is not the right time, God. Talk to me later, right? We do that on occasions to God. Without realizing that life is a very precious thing, that we don't know for how long we'll be alive, right? I always talk to people, you know, enjoy life. This is a beautiful day. We have an amazing opportunity today because we don't know the future. And so all these tests in the Bible always made me reflect in that, you know, life is very short, and the only way that we can have assurance of eternal salvation is if we allow God to take control of our life, right? Believing in Jesus Christ. Let's continue doing some reviewing here. This is 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief. Have you think about that idea, that concept? What will happen when somebody enters your house in the middle of the night? How that made you feel? You know, especially if you are not expecting anyone there, right? Somebody enters as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away in a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the worlds that they are in will be burned up. And so, you know, our amazing cars, our interesting technology, our property, all of that is important, is valuable, but have a limit, right? When you compare this with what God is offering, doesn't make a lot of sense, right? Think about that for a moment. So the events at the end of the millennium, well, let's do like a little recap here and what will happen at the end of the millennium, right? Christ and the saints at the city will be descending from heaven after the 1,000 years happen. The wicked dead are raised again, right? Satan is loose and he starts confusing and deceiving people again, trying to gather this army to destroy God's people again. The last judgment is passed because God doesn't destroy anyone without giving him a chance to be judged first, right? And Satan and sinners are what? Why they are destroyed? Why God doesn't allow them to live? Why he is such an unfair God? What do you think?
Why does God did not allow
Satan and his followers to be alive? Why?
Satan and his followers, they are spirit beings.
You know what? A lot of people ask me this question, especially people who don't know much about the Bible. Because we like to measure God from our own compassion, right? Now, how is that God is persecuting all these bad people? Why he's doing that? And I want you to think about for a moment in this. How a person that is used to do evil and sinful things will feel in the presence of God and the angels in an environment like heaven. Oh, that's a good question. Do God give second chances to people? Third chances, four chances, fifth, sixth, as many chances as you need it. But you know what? It's an element that we don't know. What is the element that we don't know? Your life expectancy, right? So as long as you are alive, you had a chance. A chance to what? To repent and to ask for forgiveness, as to ask for help. What will happen the moment that we die? The chances are finished. Your opportunity. And that's the problem. If we knew when we were dying, I'm pretty sure a lot of people will do this, wait until the last few hours. Now, God, I'm serious about this business. Please forgive me. And now I want to put everything in place. I know I live more. You see, we cannot play these games with God. But that's a beautiful promise, and it's a good news right there. You know, every person have an opportunity to listen to God and to make his own choice. But remember, at the end, when all these things happen, even the people who get destroyed have to acknowledge that God is a just God, right? That he's merciful. Because the destruction doesn't come in because he's vengeful or because he hates people. It's because we have to realize that even if you get destroyed, it's because you didn't appreciate the love and the patience and the compassion and the opportunities that God gives us to all, right? Earth is cleansed and renewed. When the Bible is speaking about cleansing the earth and renewing, it's removing sin, finally, from the planet, right? And this is 2 Peter 3:13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for what? For new heavens and new what? And a new earth in which the righteous dwell. So that's the promise that we get in the Scripture. And today, I just want you to remember, you know, heaven is for everybody. God expects us all to be there. His heart is open to all people. I believe that God will give every person the evidence for why they are there. Because that's what justice is about, right? When you look at the justice system here on earth and somebody go to a trial, you know, the people is presenting evidence and they are presenting witness and they are having all these records. It's a reason for that. Because if somebody come back years later and say, oh, what about this case? And they start reviewing everything, they can say, oh yes, this was a case where they did justice. You know, the end is not a pleasant end for certain people, but remember, that's not what God has in mind for us. His intentions are good. I want you to leave this place with this promise, you know, that God wants everybody to be saved. Are you sure about that? You know, God is good, that he loves you. You know, when you read John 3:16, I mean, it melts my heart to know that he's doing whatever he can to help us. So it's our chance and it's an opportunity right now that we are alive to make these choices. Not only for us, but for the people that we know, right? Our family members, the ones who don't want to listen about God, they don't care about God, they don't want to hear about religion. And you need to ask for wisdom and, you know, ask God for a good strategy and how to be a good witness to this kind of person so they don't want to know anything about God, right? Christians today, we get criticized a lot because they say, oh, you are too judgmental, you are always pushing religion. But it's a reason for that. You know what is the reason for that? Because we know what will happen at the end. If they don't take the opportunity for salvation, we know that the consequences are eternal. The pain will be so great that we want everybody to be happy. And because we know these things, we want everybody to enjoy the same blessing, right? We don't want to be selfish. We want everybody to be in heaven. So, my brother.
The devil, God himself said this. Satan, he had deceived not some of the world, the whole world. And he said, if it were possible, he'd see the very elect of God. Now, the point I'm saying is this. Since God is righteous, God is just, some people, you can take the same book and go to 95 different people, and they give you 95 different reasons why this book's saying something that it's not saying. So what I'm saying is, God is going to make sure that you know the truth before he condemns you to eternal death. Because he would not be just if he did.
No, and you are correct. You know that, and that's the importance of reading the scripture and take very seriously what the Bible is telling you, right? Because if I'm telling you something that you don't find in the Bible, you know, maybe sounds interesting, maybe sound appealing to you, maybe sound appeasing to you. Let me give you an example, and we will be closing up very soon our study. One of the most bothersome things for me right now is to listen preachers and television asking people to send them money. And they call this money seeds. Have you heard the concept? And it's speaking about the gospel of prosperity. If you send me money, I promise you, God will bless you 100% or whatever amount you send me. Is that true? In part, it's true, because the Bible says that God will bless us. But you also know that it's a false statement when somebody is manipulating the faith of somebody, right? So we have to be very careful in these issues because it's a salvation issue and we need to be faithful to the truth. Maybe you don't agree with what the truth is, but that's the truth, right? Let's say that you go to the doctor and the doctor says, oh, don't worry, what you have is a little cold. Just go home and be happy. Nothing happened to you. 3 months later, you die because you have a serious case of cancer. You know, you will rather listen to the truth or what the doctor is telling you. So this is the same thing with the scripture. You discover things in the Bible, and in occasions people get upset. They think this is aggravating, this is not convenient, this is not appropriate for me, it doesn't fit in my schedule, it doesn't fit in my way of thinking. But that's what the Bible is telling you. So I'm pleading with you just to keep your heart and your minds open to the voice of God so he can continue leading you in this process of studying and learning more about God. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are learning today that you have a deep interest in saving all humanity. And Father, we want to be with you in this heaven that you had promised to us. Father, we realize that in many occasions we disobey you, that we don't want to listen to you. But also, Lord, we realize that you have a beautiful plan for us, that salvation is real, and we want to be there forever with you. Please help us, O Lord, to make the right choices. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good night. Remember, tomorrow we don't have a seminar. We will come back Thursday, and we hope that Steve is back in shape here, okay?